Matthew chapter 23. Good to have you here in the house of God. Hope you got one of our brand new Aldi type bags that can be used in any grocery store, convenience store, anything. I wish they'd bring back the brown poke. Everybody here knows what I'm talking about. I think we need to go back to them. And they seem to hold more and are better. The little plastic things, I've had more of them tear up with me carrying stuff in the house than I ever had them brown ones. See, I know there's one would know. I know there was. As we pick up in verse 7 tonight, we looked at the error of Balaam under the fact of how these Pharisees and Sadducees, we saw how that they, we look at the facts of the legalists and liberals, they always are out looking for honor. And they always want to have the best seats in the synagogues and so forth. Somebody asked me one time, does that mean they sit on the front row? I said, no, they want to sit on the platform. I was watching a certain revival thing up there right beside a beer joint up there in North Carolina. You know, that's a crazy place up there now, Brother Fane. I don't know how you stand it. They have a revival for 6 weeks beside a beer factory, never shut down the first bottle. Crazy. Got a governor up there that the entire ballot, everybody votes Republican except for the crazy Democrat that rigged the vote. Yeah, I said he rigged the vote. Just like that president-elect business, you're not president-elect till January 6th. Yet they already want to sign $70 million worth of something. I think you Democrats spend quite enough. You just wait your turn. But of course, we saw about these legalists and liberals. They live in hypocrisy. We picked up on the way of Cain. We got down to the era of Balaam. We're going to pick up tonight with the gainsayings of Kor, which is Korah in the Bible. And he says in verse number 9 there, he says, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, he says, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. As we finish up looking at this message tonight, these are the facts on the legalists and liberals. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come to you tonight, and we thank you, God, for letting us be here and be alive. We pray, God, that you'll be in our midst tonight. God, teaching us the Scripture. Lord, we ask you, according to Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And I pray, God, you'd help me preach tonight, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Help me to preach the Word, be as an in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. We ask all this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now we get down to this gainsayings of Kor. Of course, I told you this morning, you got three things over here in the book of Jude, verse 11. It said, woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. Now, of course, what Korah there is the New Testament spelling of the word Korah. And the sin of Korah was the denial of authority. He denied the authority that God had placed there. And just like in Numbers chapter 12, when Aaron and Miriam came to Moses, they said, you ain't the only one who can pray. We can pray too. Well, God bless you and thank you. You get to doing that. And I've noticed a lot of people are like Moses' brother and sister there. They want to take over and everything else because somebody's in charge in their family. I've seen a lot of preachers, their wife tries to run the show because their husband's a preacher. That don't make it right. And it's usually it's done with a slant. A slant away from God, that is. And I was in a church one time where the pastor's brother went to church there. And the brother tried to pastor the church. He said, well, I'm handling people. You just handle the pulpit. And he told him, no, you don't handle the pulpit and the people. That's what God put me here for. Right. He said, he didn't put you here to be an extra special counselor in our midst. And I said, amen to that. I was witness to that one. I said, amen, Doc. Amen. Tell him. Listen, we don't need two pastors here. We need one. I'll even run something else by you. These churches that run 10,000, they just need one pastor. Just one. They don't need a guy. Listen, if I had a church that size and they said, well, who's going to do all the funerals? I'd do them. It'd be real easy. It might take every minute of waking hour during the daylight. We can do it, no problem. Who's going to visit all the hospitals? The man of God is. Simple. And if you can't handle what God gives you, quit. You can't handle it. The ministry ain't an easy place. Listen, there's more churches this size in the world than churches that size. Right. And we don't look down our nose on churches less than us, and we don't look up our nose at the rest of them. Amen. we're all in this together. We're all fighting for the same thing, supposed to be, right? Amen. I told you about the small church conference. The guy said, what's a small church? And that sword of the Lord comes. He said 500, or, you know, I thought 500 to 1,000 is a small church. I thought, buddy, what reality are you in? You must be in a whole, complete, another dimension. Because I noticed this, every church I see on the internet, or the interweb, as some people call it, every one of them I see, they about anywhere from 50 to 200 people. That's the majority of churches in the world. Is that right? Amen. Somebody needs to teach these big churches, instead of all bunching up, read the book of Acts. When they bunched up, God dispersed them. He didn't say bundle up and go and stay away from the world. He said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. You need to get out, man. I know people tell me, you don't get out much, and I really don't. I don't like to get out too much. It's too hot in the summer, too cold in the winter. I could die of heat stroke in the hot days and die of, what you call that, hypothermia in the wintertime. So I just try to stay where my ground gets plowed. But I will say this, these folks need to get out if they're going to bunch up to 2,000 and 3,000 and 4,000 people. You're not doing nothing. The city where you at hadn't closed down the first pornography bookstore. The beer joints ain't closed. You're not doing nothing. You are not doing nothing. Why don't you divide out in about 10 churches and go out that way? Amen. Amen. Then your pastor wouldn't have to have 10 people to help him do the funerals and the weddings. That's a joke, ain't it, man? We called a friend of ours who was trying to help us out when we were younger, and my wife wanted to be nice to her and give her a baby shower. Called her up to that big old church she went to. They didn't have no idea who she was. It's out there on 85. I don't think he's there anymore. What's wrong with people? They don't know nobody. They're only running 2,000. Surely they could have known that many. I graduated, Brother Steve, I graduated with 450 or 475 people. I know every one of them. Every one of them. Not as well as some, but I know who they are. And everybody went to high school with him the last 3 years. I remember most of their faces, sure enough. Now you tell me you can't figure out how to keep up with all that. The era of Balaam, the gainsayings of Kor, they rebuked and was against the authority that was with them. But he says this, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Now, I'm going to show you something. The alibi of men that want to be so-called father so-and-so. It's awful odd about that crowd, but every time you see them, they dress like mama and won't be called papa. Very, very plain, very plain. Here's what they'll say. Well, you call your human father by father, so this should, it could be literal what Jesus said. That's what the crowd wearing the dresses tell you. Yeah. Let me make that clear. The men wearing the dresses say. He's already got on about them phylacteries, them garments and all that. Same crowd. But listen to this. And I want to hear some shouting on this business, and so they can hear it all the way up to Maine, okay? The South remained literal while the North fell into Catholicism. Amen. So how do you know that? Let's just take a survey. What is it you call Chuck Martin? Do you call him father or call him daddy? What do you call Pat Wiley?
Daddy.
Daddy? 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 Now where'd y'all get that from? Because you know the Bible says, call no man your father.
Yeah, that's right.
How about that? That's what the Bible said. We remain literal to the scriptures down here while they took our northern brethren over with a little sleight of hand. Mm. Ain't that something? Why would they do that? Well, there's something involved in it.
Mm.
He said in verse 10, neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. Three titles forbidden by your Lord. Number one is rabbi. Now, this is Bible's more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper. Rabbi, teacher. Rabbi. Father, some man with the ability to, quote, make you a Christian, right? And master. Now, here's a good one for you. I wonder if you go down to that lodge on Tuesday night, what they call that guy running that thing. If you don't know, they call him worshipful master. Now, I've never been a Mason. My daddy was never one, and his daddy, they didn't allow us in places like that. That's too uppity for our crowd. But I do know this. Every one of them I've ever asked said the guy of the lodge called worshipful master. Jesus just said, don't call nobody that.
Okay.
For one is your master in heaven. I don't have to go too far in the Bible to figure that thing out.
Right.
Now, listen to me. That's what your Lord said. I don't believe there's anything that makes you a better Christian than Christ himself. You can't add to them works and you can't take away from them works. What he did is finished forever. When they say, how do you get to heaven? There's only one way. Well, he's talking right now. That's him. There's only one way to get that way. There's only one way close to God. That's Jesus Christ. And when people say stuff about that, they say, well, you know, them titles of, well, that's not literal. It must be. He cleared them out pretty plain. You know, we look at the legalists and the liberals. They like to walk downtown and somebody call them, hey, there's a good teacher. There's the rabbi. There's the master. And he said, don't be like them people. See, this whole thing's a warning. He's tried for 22 chapters preaching to these people and everything else. And there are times when he asked them questions that they wouldn't answer him. And one was about John the Baptist. They didn't call John the Baptist a teacher. They didn't call him rabbi. They didn't call him master. They didn't say Father John to him. They said John the Baptist. They spit Baptist out when they said it. They still do, by the way. The latest attack on a Baptist has come in the last 100 years. They try to make us Protestants. Oh, y'all come out of the Protestant Reformation. We never was part of it. We were never Catholics to come out and become Protestants. And by the way, the Protestants ain't protesting too awful much. So why is that? I just made a note to myself that when it comes to the day where they're going to Sanctity of Life Day, they let the Catholic priest lead in prayer, and the Lutheran priest, he'll be there, the Episcopal priest will be there, or she'll be there, whatever, and they all yoke up together. Do you know why they do that? I don't know either, but I know this. I know why that one crowd's doing it, the one that wants you to call them master and wants to call you father. Well, they say they believe this. If you are a Catholic and you have a child, that child, once it's sprinkled, automatically becomes one. What these poor, deluded Democrats in Washington are trying to legalize all these people, they think, well, if we legalize all of them, then they'll all vote for us because we'll give them free things. Well, number one, you better hope we don't succeed out of the union because you can't live without us, but we can live without you.
That's right. Yep.
We are the taxpayers. Y'all are the communists. Secondly, if you give them all amnesty, you know what they're going to do? They're going to vote you out and vote Pedro in.
Uh-oh.
Don't worry, I'm saying they're filming me doing it. Y'all do what you got to do, I'll do what I got to do. But I've noticed this. They don't like them people either.
Yeah.
I don't know what the guy said in Spanish, but I was somewhere one day and Nancy Pelosi was on TV with her beautiful face. And I don't know what that dude said in Spanish, but I'm sure it was a cuss word. His face indicated it wasn't good. And then he spit right there in the store. I thought, Lord have mercy, I thought you white people didn't like her. But you got them three titles of these people, and they are literally three end times religious leaders. You have only one teacher in John 14:26. Look over at John 14:26. You have one teacher. Do you know that? Just one teacher's all. These people said, my teachers taught me in Bible college. You better have just one in Bible college. And by one, I'm going to show you his name here. John chapter 14, look at verse 26. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. He shall what? Teach you all things. So you got one teacher. He may use several men to do it with, but you have one teacher. And of course, nowadays, with the end times where we at, we got people wanting to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That don't mean their ears itch. That means the people that's wanting it is wanting to hear some good little teaching about a little old something to help them with a little sermonette by somebody smoked that little cigarette. Right? What are they wanting? Well, they not listen. They're not wanting a leather lung preacher to get up and preach the devil out of them. They want Joel Osteen to smile at them and tell them how good they are. Is that right?
Yep.
They don't want nobody pressing you about church membership. They want a Billy Graham that belongs to a Baptist church and his wife that belongs to a Presbyterian church to be USA's pastor. I never thought to see the day of my life I'd hear Phil Kidd go up there and praise Billy Graham. Nosedive, people nosediving. Going all the way to the bottom. Going to hit rock bottom. Why? Because that's where we at. They don't want a teacher. They want a little sermonette. Now listen to this. You have only one father. One father. No matter who you are, you got one father. It's either God is your Father, when Jesus said, when thou prayest, our Father which art in heaven. Or you got your other one father that you may not even know is your daddy yet. We need to set up a Jerry Springer show and start DNA testing all these so-called church members so we look at them and say, well, the card come back and God ain't your father. Have Lucifer walk up there with his long blonde hair and his white robe and his bloody hands and the signs of the zodiac all over that sheet and everything, and him come out there smiling at you with them Osteen teeth. John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil. Who did he tell that to? He didn't tell drunks that. He told these same religious people that desire to wear the long garments, have the thick thing at the bottom of it. Listen, the one that desired to be called master and teacher and all that, he told them, ye are of your father the devil. And you have only one master. It's either Jesus, like it is in Matthew 23:10, or it's a multitude of people you're trying to please rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one or the other. When I see people trying to, when I see somebody trying to please just people and they'll go on about this stuff and say, oh, this is the best brethren I ever have and all this other stuff, you better be careful. Because when they said, when Jesus says, one of you's going to turn on me, nobody knew who that one was. I noticed that we should have just been observing the master there instead of trying to figure out who turned on him. Ain't that something? But they also never believed he'd get up from the dead till after he'd done it too. You know, the day after the crucifixion, they were sitting up there locked up in a room worried about what's going to happen. The next day they worried about what's going to happen. The third day comes and they still worried about what's going to happen. And somebody shows up in there at the place on Sunday night and says, why are you all so fearful? You know what they was? Scared. They didn't believe he would do that. They didn't believe he could get up from the grave. Let me ask you a question. Do you know that that is the thing you got to believe about Jesus before you get saved? You can believe in baby Jesus and go to hell. You can believe in teenage Jesus and go to hell. You can believe in the Jesus and his 12 disciples and go to hell. You can believe he died and go to hell. But if you believe he rose again the third day, that's the difference in all the rest of the stuff. They say, well, we found some bones, and we found a man here where it shows his bones that he had nails driven in his hands. And the guy saying it on National Geographic said this, we could tell by the way the bones were crushed in his hand that had to be Jesus' hand. It was somebody with the body from around 2,000 years ago. Wrong Jesus, pal, because our Lord says that they didn't even break a bone of him while they done it. This much, remember, you're talking about, oh, now you got to consider the Greek word for hand. It starts here, goes all the way to here. That way when they drove the nails in here, them two bones held together to hold him on the cross. I got news for you. They found out something else about them crosses and his digging. And boy, this kills all this uppity quoting Greek crowd and everything else. They used little wooden washers to put on your hand with a hole in the middle of it. They drove that to hold you on the cross. But wait, there's more. It wasn't the nails that held him on the cross. It was his choice held him there.
That's right.
But they had them little wooden washers. That totally takes away having to go to the Greek for anything. They pierced my hands and my feet. You ever watch them when they preach it? They'll quote the Greek for the Old Testament. I've never heard them quote the Aramaic for Daniel that one part. Not one time. Not one time. Listen, I've graduated Bible college 4 times and I've never had a class in Aramaic. I've never heard them say, well, dealing with the original scriptures, the Hebrew, the Aramaic, and the Greek, I've never had them say that. You do know part of Daniel is written in Aramaic, but they don't teach that. Scared to death. You know what's going to happen to them one day? God's going to open their eyes to them and see what all they missed all their life by running around here chasing after men and wanting to be like somebody else. This crowd, not only do they love honor, do they live like hypocrites, but then they lack humility. Let's go back over to Matthew chapter 23. We're going to pick up at verse 11 down here. And Matthew chapter 23 verse 11 starts another fact about the legalists and the liberals. They both lack humility. They think they're warring against each other sometimes, but I promise you they're not. They're on the same team. They're on the same team. They act the same way. And they lack humility. Here's where they lack it at, right here, verse 11. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. I want to submit to you tonight that the back of the line is the front of the line with the Lord. There's people out there that see people that are doing so-called great things for the Lord. And they got a testimony how they was into cocaine and all this other stuff. And one day God miraculously delivered out of them. And they'll go preach that stuff. And they'll preach and preach about how lost they were and how they got saved. And there's good people that have never done that stuff like that are sitting in a church somewhere saying this: I wish my testimony was like theirs. Can I tell you something tonight? The back of the line is the front of the line. Anybody who wants to be like that, you're crazy. If you're sitting here tonight and you've never drank and you never did dope, you've never held your head over a toilet begging God that you go to church if he lets you get up. Am I right, brother? Listen, begging God to let you out of there so you can get well and go to church next time the door's open. And you lying hypocrites, you got better and didn't go. Hey, can I let you in on something? You was all lost before you saved, no matter what version of lost you was.
That's right.
I mean, here's the thing to consider. I had a young kid tell me that one time. He said, "I wish my testimony was like yours." I said, "Hold on, kid." I said, "No, don't ever be like me.
Right.
Don't ever wish for something like that." And then I hear this: "But you can deal with drug addicts." Are you kidding me? I couldn't deal with them when I was one, and I can't now. But I tell you what can: the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what got me turned around. It wasn't because somebody else did drugs and talked to me. I'd have thought there's a hypocrite and a fool too. But when the Holy Ghost got to talking, it's a whole different thing. See, we try to program him out all this stuff. We say, "Well, we got this, Lord. We'll handle this." And our converts are backsliders on their best day. But all of them he converts, they endure to the end that they might be saved. How about that?
Yeah.
I would to God that people think, "Well, I wasn't lost like you was." Yes, you was.
That's right.
Yes, you was. You was as lost as I was. You was on the same hell I was.
Yeah.
And it took the same gospel and the same blood to save you.
Yes.
And I've noticed that people say, "Well, I can help people that's like that." You don't help people like that. God helps people like that. It's like the so-called uppity crowd. We don't drink and we don't smoke. We don't run with those who do. They got to have the same blood that shed on Calvary as the guy with the needle in his arm does.
Yeah.
I've seen all this stuff come and go, and I've noticed this. The back of the line is the front of the line. You admit you a failure and God will make you a success. He'll lead you in the right way to go. You may never have a mansion and millions of dollars over here, but you'll have it over there. So what will I do with millions of dollars over there? You'll change it into gold bank over there and put it on the streets like everybody else.
Yeah, that's right.
The thing we value the most on earth is nothing but asphalt in heaven. And I ain't seen you carry no asphalt to your house when they're paving the roads. We was down here when they was doing the neighbor's driveway, watching them do it. I didn't see nobody lined up over saying, "Hey, give me a pound or two of that." It's worthless to you, ain't it? That's to hire people to fool with it. It's so worthless. Now listen to me. These people come on and say, "Well, the back of the line is the front of the line." What do you mean? I want you to make note in John 13 that it was the servant that washed people's feet. When they come into a place, it was a lowly servant that would carry a towel and a wash basin to wash people's feet. Say, why? Because they didn't have no asphalt at all. Right? So when they come into a place, it was a servant, a lowly servant would get down there and wash them people's feet. Jesus got all his disciples together, girded himself about, grabbed a bowl of water and a towel, and started washing their feet. He gets to Peter. What does Peter say? "Oh, Lord, not so. I should be washing yours." He said, "No, Peter. Back of the line is the front of the line. You keep it up front of the line, I'll take the back." It was the servant that washed their feet. It was the servant that when they all gathered around the table, listen to this, it was the servant that broke the bread and gave it to everybody. It wasn't the master of the house. It was the servant. It was the guy at the back of the line that come in and said, "Is everybody ready to eat, Master? I'll bring the bread out. I'll bring the food out." And when Jesus got together and thousands of them were hungry and they didn't have no food, it was the servant that broke the bread and gave it to the people. Very important to remember that. The back of the line is the front of the line. I've watched people in churches for years. For some reason, they think that when it comes time to eat, they got to be the first hog in the trough. Now, I'll have to go first next time because none of y'all won't take first next time we have dinner. And I'm okay with that, but listen to this. I've watched how people just about, they'll run like a bull over you to get to that line over there. And God forbid you breaking that line. Why? Because they tell me on you. You know, he broke in front of me in line today. Really? Bless your heart, Dave. They broke in front of you. Well, how dare they do that, you know? Is that right? Well, you think they're going to tell? They ain't going to tell God. They don't believe in him. That's what they tell me. They also get mad at me when I tell them what God says about it. Get to the back of the line. Cockroaches and Baptists. Neither one of them on at the back of the line. You know why people won't like heaven? You get up to heaven and find out everybody's forgiven everybody. You'll hate that because you used to be carrying grudges with you all the way in there. Why is there a new heaven and a new earth? Because people's carried so much pride into heaven, God's got to get rid of it and wipe all the tears from your eyes, show you how you really was, and then there'll be a new heaven and a new earth.
Yeah.
See, the front of the line is the back of the line with the Lord. And if you look at verse 12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. These legalists and liberals, they lack humility because the order is set by the Lord himself and they don't submit to authority. Why? They claim they're the authority. Why do you think it is that people say, well, I got to ask my preacher what that means before I say anything? You ain't got to ask me, Jack. You got to see what it says. And whatever it says goes. Now, I'm talking about in context with the scripture, in the passage itself, the chapter itself, the book itself. You got to go with what it says. Okay? There's a lot of people got this backed up mess up. They say this. Somebody asks them what the Bible says about something, and they'll tell them, and say, well, it says this right here. And they'll stop. That's your interpretation. Not if you're telling them what it says.
Right.
Okay? I looked at some of the scriptures, and I don't like what it says either.
Yep.
But I know this. Whether I understand it, whether I like it, or anything else, I got to believe it. And I got to get my life conformed to this rather than trying to conform this to my life.
Yep.
How do you think they come up with all these Bible versions? What they didn't like? They cut them out, just like that guy in Jeremiah 36.
Yep.
I've had people tell me, now, that's not so, brother. Well, you don't think he'd have cut up an NIV over there, do you? He cut up the Word of God.
Yep.
You don't hear a New American Standard only crowd and the NIV only crowd and the New King James only crowd. You're either multiple versions because you're trying to find what you believe, something to back up what you believe out of 27 different available English translations just to get away from one. I've noticed how this thing operates. If I'm preaching this passage and I want to bring out a certain point and this don't say it, I have to bring in another one to say it. It's of equal authority is what they're trying to use on that.
Yep.
I got a question for you. If your equal authority over there cuts on the Lord Jesus Christ, do you think it can be right with God? I'm asking you a question. Is it possible? I don't believe it is. I don't believe that a book that would take out Jesus Christ over 47 times right off the top of my head that I can remember would be anything that would be honoring to our Lord.
Right.
Well, you don't understand pronouns. No, you don't understand them. Listen, you try to dig into a foreign language, you can't hardly speak English. I've heard their sermons and read their writings. They don't even know how to write either. They don't know how to notate stuff. So they got a bad habit of not wanting to tell you where they get stuff from, so you have to come to them for the final authority. Jack, I don't need you. I got the final authority right here. I'll find out what it says. I'll have to read it all day long to figure it out. If I had to sit here and beg God for a week to show me, I'll do it before I'd ever go to somebody like that and say, now, dear Dr. Smellfungus, what is your opinion on this scripture? I got probably 10 shells full of Dr. Smellfungus' opinions. They all the same. Correct the Bible at will according to their opinion. I come to this book and I say, Lord, I don't want opinion. I want your truth.
Yep.
And I found out something by looking at this little passage right here. They all want to sit in that place of authority. Nobody wants to sit in the seat of humility.
Right.
I've seen some of these guys, bless their heart, and you may be liking. They strut sitting down. They say, they're so proud.
Mm.
Jesus said, back of the line. Back of the line.
Right.
There's some of them that think that they're in the front of the line and they ain't figured it out yet. That's not the place to be in this. And by saying that, let me say this. Brother Waters quoted Dr. Seitler, like something he saw Dr. Seitler do. I remember Brother Carter telling me a similar place that we have these little fellowship meetings around here. And the Dr. Seitler used to go to every one of them. Now you gotta understand, this is a man of God that started that Tabernacle Baptist Church over there. The only pastor they knew for 40-something years. And they'd break in the church like our size to go to a meal. And if you'd just come back after about 2 minutes and watch and look in there, you'd see Dr. Seitler, the great Dr. Seitler, straightening these books out in these pews and picking up all the trash that them big fat preachers left laying there in their place like that.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the cleaning people said don't do that here either. Amen and amen.
Amen.
That little thing in front of you for the hens, that ain't a trash rack. That's a book rack.
Amen.
And he'd see Dr. Sotlin there straightening all that stuff up like that. Nobody knew he did that. Now, ain't it something that somebody like that, that's in a high exalted position, everybody around here that knew him said, that's a great man of God, they never saw that side of him. You need to understand, listen, greatness don't come by what you do in public. Greatness comes by what you are in private. I've heard people say, I noticed that certain churches ain't growing. Poor, pitiful them. Well, bless your heart, too. But listen to this. Here's something to consider. All them guys bragging on that, what are they doing now? They walk around with a paper over their face like this saying, please don't come. We're going to have to go to, virtual services. Hello? See, there's a difference. There's a difference in being foolish about something and following God. If you're going to let somebody come along and tell you you can't have church, sorry, we ain't doing that. We got one authority over the starting time and it ain't them. I like what that New Jersey synagogue did up there. Said, we no answer to no deputy, no governor. I said, boy, I like him. I'm not even Jewish. All these Baptists around here, we're going to close and reopen phases. Reopen what? Same guys 6 months ago preaching, Book of Acts, thousands of converts, big church. Now we got to reopen phases. I've seen your gospel literature, by the way. When it don't mention Jesus Christ, I don't think you play for the same team as we do. Looks more like a vacation resort on your gospel literature. You might be in the wrong business. I think, listen, my opinion, I've been talking about their opinion. My opinion, they ought to close down and make a fish camp out of it. We ain't got enough of them in town no more. We got a couple Chinese restaurants, two or three Mexican restaurants. We ain't got a good fish camp. Won't y'all shut down a few of these and open up three or four of them in there? They'd never miss you on Sunday. In fact, you get a bigger crowd. I promise you would. Methodists would show up at 11:45, Baptists at 12, and the black churches at 2, and you can make a killing all day long. Listen to me. The order's set by the Lord. You got the coming judge is set. Do you know before you ever have a trial, you got to have a judge appointed to the trial? John 5:27, he said, all judgment's given unto me. Jesus Christ is the judge.
Right.
Remember this morning, talking about baby Jesus, they don't want him to grow up. He grows up to be a judge. Because he said, the Father giving all judgment to me. I wonder if these guys over here in chapter 22, Master, you know, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be? How surprised are they going to be to see him at the judgment? He's the judge that God put over the whole thing. What how the guy that come up and said, which of these is greater, Master? You know, saying Master in a backhanded type way. They're going to be shocked when they ushered into God's courtroom and there's Jesus Christ sitting on a bench. You talking about all rise. And I noticed that the coming judgment of saints shows up right after that. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. We're going to be judged according to our works. And to bema seat judgment of Christ. But there's also the coming judgment of sinners. And at that coming judgment of sinners, I'm going to point out to you, he didn't say it's going to be the crackheads there and the heroin addict. And it's going to be the worthless guy there that won't pay his bills. He said sinners both great and small. And by just thinking on what he meant by great and small is exactly what he said. There'll be some great sinners there at that judgment. Your Adolf Hitlers, your Jeffrey Dahmers, your Ted Bundys, and some of these other tax dodgers that won't pay their bills. Call themselves reverend. Guess what? They're going to be in bad shape at this judgment. They have the acknowledgement. They'll be the greatest sinners there. But then he said great and small. That small sinner is the guy that rejects Jesus Christ just like them others did. But he's kind of kept it to himself so nobody else will know. I got to reading in the Bible about that coming judgment of sinners. But they all get found guilty on one thing. That's one thing they share in common. They're only guilty of one thing unanimously across the board. It's not drinking. I mean, you know, surely it would be that. It's not using marijuana because God knows they're going to make it legal in this country whether we vote on it or not. It's not going to be heroin they all have in common. Some of you wouldn't know heroin if it walked in the bin and was poured in the top of your head. You wouldn't know what it was. Some of you think, well, that meth, well, that's a bad thing. Y'all talk about it. Y'all wouldn't even know what it looked like. If it wasn't for the police showing me, I wouldn't know what it looked like. They showed me a rolling meth lab one day, and I thought, you mean these dummies put Clorox in this stuff and paint thinner and use your brain. Back when we was kids, Charlie Gertz over at Channel 4 handed us little green stickers called Mr. Yuck to put on stuff under the kitchen cabinet so you'd know not to fool with them. I think we need Mr. Yuck back so you understand not to drink or smoke that stuff. Well, it's got to be the beer guy. There's all that beer, but it's not that one. They all convicted over just one sin. When they try to say how good they are, God's going to show them their life and the rest of the universe their entire life to show they're not good. But one sin is going to put them in hell, in the lake of fire. Just one. That's rejecting the guy sitting on the judge seat up there. I mean, when he charges them with it, they're going to say, well, Jesus, you know we liked you. We didn't realize you was going to be the judge, though. We'd act a little bit better towards you. Always one TV show, a guy's got to walk on water and make fun of the Lord, ain't it? I noticed one thing about him. He has to use boxes up under the water. He'd sink like the rest of us. They ain't walking on water. There's always one wants to make fun of him. They used to have, I don't know if they still got out, the Comedy Channel. And I watched an hour of it one time and saw three different spots in one TV show where they made fun of our Lord. I guess you just got that thing just to laugh a little bit, huh? I have had no use for that thing since. And to hear these news broadcasters, you would think they're drunk before they got up there, some of the stuff they tell. A lot of you people, older folks like me, remember when Walter Cronkite was on the news. Do you know Walter Cronkite was probably a worse liberal than Hillary Clinton? But you never knew it listening to him. He just told what happened that day. He didn't have to stop, make a little slight side joke on it and commentate. Get five out there with their dresses hiked up to here talking about, we the five, we want to talk to you about this subject today. We know what you are. You're a joke. Everybody's got to be a comedian on the news now. And bless your heart, how bad is it in America when you don't listen to somebody who can barely get through high school like LeBron James and plays basketball going to tell us how to run this country? I'm like the president. Won't you stick to dribbling that basketball?
Yeah.
And by the way, a racist is somebody who believes their race is superior to all the other races. He's one of them. You won't say it, but I will. I ain't afraid of him and all the millions he's got. For them to ever touch me, they got to go through God. If God lets them on this side, he sure won't let them on the next side. Amen. I hear all these people doing all this talking. Everybody's got to be a talking head on TV. Everybody's got their own news show on YouTube. But there's one problem. It ain't going to be all that mouth running going to get you put in hell.
Right.
It's going to be one thing. Just one. You deny the Lord Jesus Christ and you say, I don't need him to save me. I'm a good enough person. I'm sure some of these millionaires in this world give so much money to charity. You're sitting on $400 million and you gave $1,000 to UNICEF last year. Well, good job. Why don't you take about $400 million out of your $500 million and go help people around the world, George Clooney?
Right.
You know what I think? I think he's going to die and he's going to say the words he said in one of the movies. I'm in a tight spot here, boys. Because he's going to be, because he's rejecting Christ.
Right.
And while all these stars, listen, all I heard in 2015, if he gets elected, we're leaving the country. You owe us a trip. Give us your driver's license and your passport and get out. Like the wicked witch. Be gone with you. Right? Hey, the problem's this. I'm talking to you about legalists and liberals, and I'm telling you they're all just alike. It don't matter if you swing Republican or swing Democrat. It's like playing football. There's a national conference and there's an American conference. They're all NFL players. You go to baseball, they got a National League and an American League. They're all Major League Baseball players. You go to basketball, you got the Eastern Conference player and the Western Conference player, and they're all playing for the NBA. If I knew what the Hockey League's divisions was, I'd tell you then, so they all play for the NHL. But the problem is this. Some of y'all ain't figured out yet that you are pulling for the wrong team. Somebody asked me one time here recently, well, you're a Republican, ain't you? I said, never been one. Never been one. Never went up there and registered for Democrat or Republican. So what are you? Just like in this church, I'm independent. I follow no crowd but Christ. Listen, these legalists and these liberals, they all have the same end in the same lake of fire for the same sin. Don't go to hell with them. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father.